I want to empower parents this morning. I want to give them a chance to talk about their children. Aidan also contacted us about problems he was having trying to arrange his son's nursery placement. So this is a child at the very beginning of educational life. I want you to have a listen to this story. Aidan began by telling me about his little boy, who's called Adam.
So Adam is 3 years old. He has spina bifida and hydrocephalus. He is a wheelchair user, but he also uses some mobility and uses a walker frame. He's a bubbly wee character. He loves socialising, but he's got challenges. And he's just started nursery school last Wednesday there. So.
And you've had problems with the Education Authority. What are they?
So I knew that the process for getting a statement of special educational needs was a long, protracted process. I started, I put my first request in June 2018 for nursery this year, and I didn't get my first draft statement until March 2019. And within that...
So that's 9 months later.
Yes, correct. I then requested a meeting with the Education Authority because there were problems with that statement.
What were the problems with the statement?
So the first one was that there was another child's first name in the statement. Then there was no consideration given to our submissions as parents to say what we believe Adam's needs are. It heavily relied on the educational psychologist report, who had seen Adam maybe twice, didn't take into account a physiotherapy report either. And then it didn't specify what support was going to be given as well.
So they couldn't even get your son's name right on the form.
Correct.
How old is Adam?
Three.
And what happened next? So you meet the Education Authority in May, which is the guts of a year after you first applied, started the process. What did they say to you when you met them?
So I highlighted all these concerns, and they were agreeable. And in fairness to the lady who I met, she apologised for the error. I acknowledged the fact that, you know, even though, we're all under pressure and mistakes can happen, so I thought that was okay. I highlighted the things that I wanted done. I wanted to make sure that it was very specific in terms of the support he was going to get. And at that point, we hadn't specified what school we wanted him to go to. So we specified the school during that meeting. And because it was a private nursery, they told me that they would have to get departmental approval for Adam to go to that private nursery to make sure that it was a suitable environment for him. I was told that would be, at that time, they weren't approving very much because they were doing reviews and stuff like this here sort of stuff. But I asked the girl to let me know when she went to the department so I could put a bit of pressure on the department. That wasn't forthcoming. And then eventually we got word in the start of August this year that the department had approved the nursery that Adam was to go to. And then we got our final... our allegedly final draft statement, which had all the same problems in it that was there before in May.
What do you mean?
So the child's name was the same.
The other
child's name was still in the statement. There were four lines of information inserted into the statement, which didn't take into any account of what we discussed in May. And by the way, I had already lodged a formal complaint with the Education Authority around this process, so I just lodged a second complaint as well. And then I got my local MP involved as well in it to try and get some sort of resolution.
Who was that?
Jeffrey Donaldson.
Okay.
He was very supportive. He actually phoned me that day. And put in letters to the Education Authority and has been really, really supportive. So I can't fault them either.
I think it's actually very important to give our listeners a chance to applaud politicians when they do a good job. We know they get criticised a lot, but there's the DUP's Jeffrey Donaldson doing a really good job for you as a constituent.
I, I wouldn't agree with Jeffrey's politics, but in fairness to Jeffrey, he really stepped in there and helped out an awful lot. So we eventually got the final statement through on Friday. Within the email that we received the statement, and we did have an apology for none of the previous discussions having been included in it. So they acknowledged that they did make mistakes. But it doesn't, you know, in the meeting in May, I said to the lady I was speaking with, you know, my big fear is Adam starting nursery school in September and the provision isn't in place. And here we are. He started on Wednesday. The provision isn't in place. And, you know, I don't want him disadvantaged on the basis that, of the challenges that he faces. And if you really think about it, under the Act, Disability Discrimination Act, they are bordering on whether they're discriminating against my son getting a fair and open education. And I find the whole system, the process, really, really challenging. And we know, as parents of children with special needs, that we have to fight for our children. But when a statutory body makes it so difficult for you, it's really, really disheartening. And it makes your child feel as if they're a second-class citizen. And it makes us feel as if we have a child who's a second-class citizen in this country. And it's not good enough.
Your child started nursery school on Wednesday. Were any of the things put in place by the Education Authority?
No.
They failed them, did they?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, without a shadow of a doubt, they failed my son. And they've shown a complete disregard for him. And I think half the problem is that the people who are dealing with special educational needs get bogged down in the paperwork, forget that there's a child at the end of it or a family at the end of it, and it's all about the process rather than the person at the end of it. It's disgusting. It's probably very under-resourced, I'd imagine, as well, but it has to change. And I wanted specific things in my statement this year because I know that it's going to feed into the statement next year going into primary school, even though Adam's needs may change during that year. But I wanted to be very specific about the provision being given to him. And they throw up barriers everywhere in order to get that. And there's my son, started nursery school with a really supportive nursery school who want to do the best by him, who have been really, really good, but don't have the sign-off from the Education Authority for the support that he needs.
So, a little three-year-old boy, that statement is a legal document. They don't get his name right. Then when the parent complains about that months later, they still
don't get his name
right. They still get his name wrong. Is it any wonder why that parent is calling this disgusting and suggesting that the Education Authority is showing disregard for his son? And then finally, Kula, when the BBC goes to the Education Authority and points out the case of that little boy and that other little girl, they don't come back and say, listen, will you give us more details so we can try to sort it out? They give us a generic statement applying to both.
And in the hope that what they're doing is they're working to sort this out. It's really interesting. Adam was born with spina bifida and hydrocephalus. So from the day and hour he was born, we knew, and his parents knew, and the system knew that he needed additional support. So that's why we have an early years process in SEN. And as his daddy says, they put him into that system from the age of two. So again, we're back to the same issue. It was not a surprise that Adam needed additional supports to be able to go to nursery. So why on earth did it take so long? Because the Statement of Special Educational Needs is a legally binding document, It is the law that they have to provide what's in that statement. I am really disappointed to hear that it was vague. And we're seeing a lot of statements getting vaguer and vaguer because it then means that they're not obliged to provide that service. So if you say he needs adult care, it doesn't, additional adult care, it doesn't say he needs so many hours of one-to-one care. And that's what statements should say so that the law can make them do that.
Liam Michael is the Vice Manager for Children's Law Centre. Morning to you, Liam.
Morning, Steve.
So what can parents do here? What legal rights have they got?
Well, ultimately, parents can appeal to the Special Education Needs and Disability Tribunal, but I mean, the difficulty that you're hearing over and over again this morning is around delay, and unfortunately you can't appeal delay. So there are lots and lots of parents stuck in the system who don't even have decisions to appeal. But when parents do have a decision that they can appeal, the Special Education and Disability Tribunal has seen a massive increase in the number of appeals. So last year, there were 378 appeals. That's up from 121 in 5 years. And the shocking statistic, Stephen, I think you'll find interesting in relation to that, is in 97% of those cases, the original decision is improved for the child. So only in 3% of cases is the original decision by the Education Authority upheld. Now, if those were statistics in criminal law or social security law, I think everybody would be up in arms, would be quite shocked at that. But it's children, and 97% of bad decisions in relation to children don't seem to get the same headlines. So it's welcome that you're shining a light on this whole area this morning.
Sinn Féin are the first political party to react to this breaking story this morning, to this investigation. Their MLA, Karen Mullen, has described these allegations about the Education Authority as truly shocking. And she has said that she will be seeking an urgent meeting with the Education Authority to ensure our children receive the education and care which they are entitled to. So the SDLP are now actually going to come on the programme after 10 this morning. Have these children got a legal right to stop the Education Authority treating them like this, Liam?
Well, only through appeals, but what we're saying and what you've heard the Children's Commissioner saying is that there's been a massive increase in parents who are accessing our services for advice. For example, in 2014, we dealt with 380 issues in relation to special education needs. That's about 20% of what we do, because remember, we cover all the legal issues that could impact on children. In the last year to June 2019, that had risen to 1,650. 48% of everything that comes in through our advice line is to do with special education needs.
Liam, thank you. Kuliusuma, at the end of the day, you also, as I often say to you, are accountable to parents in Northern Ireland. You have described this morning, you've called it out, you have said that you believe that the systems within the Education Authority are broken, are not working. Mm. What are you going to do about these revelations this morning?
And that's why, Stephen, I've come onto your programme, spent an hour, because it's really important, not because I like seeing you, although I do, but it's really important that parents particularly hear me say that this is one, almost our number one issue. There's a couple of others alongside that in view of what I've said about the system not working for children, we are doing a root and branch review to make sure we understand where it's broken and where we can issue recommendations to fix it. And in the meantime, as Liam has said, any parent not getting their child's right to education met, please give us a call.
Are you going to contact the chief executive of the Education Authority about these accusations?
Absolutely. If my office isn't doing it as we speak, they definitely will be by the time I get back there.
Thanks for coming in, Kula.